Thank you so much, Avril and Michelle. So today we are thinking about prayer. And this is such an important topic. It's not surprising that Jesus talks about it in his Sermon on the Mount. But I thought I'd just start off with a few quotes about prayer from some famous people. So Martin Luther said this: "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." And Mother Teresa said this: "God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil." And then Corrie ten Boom, who spent a lot of time at a concentration camp as a young girl, said this: "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden." I think that's quite a good one for us, isn't it? I'm just going to read that again. "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden." So we just heard this passage in Philippians that Michelle read to us, where it has at the beginning, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." And as Paul is starting this letter, it's so clear that prayer is integral to everything that he does. It feels to me from this passage that Michelle read that he prays constantly, almost like an ongoing chat with God. And whenever he's thinking about the Philippians, he's filled with joy. So he thanks God for them and prays continual blessings on the people of that church. And I think that kind of constant chatting with God is something that all of us want to be cultivating more and more, isn't it? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving the people he's talking to and us now, who are his disciples, a framework for prayer that we can follow in the form of the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to focus on that today. But before we do, I just wanted to pick up on just that sense of intimacy that Jesus is speaking about here when he encourages people to go and pray quietly in their own rooms, to take time away with God on their own. And that promise in verse 8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." We have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us intimately and knows us intimately. And so he knows what we need even before we even ask. And I was reflecting that during this time of lockdown, while we can't be doing everything we usually do, really making the most of just sitting quietly with God, or maybe like meditating on a verse, is such a good thing to be doing. You know, when we pray, we don't even need to say anything. Sometimes we can just sit in our chair and just allow God to speak to us. Or something I've done recently is I've got hold of another one of those adult colouring books with verses in them. I'm sure you've seen them. And they're just quite helpful just to have a verse that you colour a picture around and you just think about that verse and just do it in quiet for a bit. And that's another way of just communicating with God, really, having that time of prayer quietly with him. So a few facts about the Lord's Prayer before we start. An estimated 2 billion people pray or sing the Lord's Prayer on Easter Sunday every year, almost a third of the world's population. That's on the 24/7 prayer website. I also looked at various websites and I found one where you could choose the Lord's Prayer in your language. And there were 189 languages that you could choose the Lord's Prayer in. And each language had several different versions of it. And we know that many people across the world set their alarms for lunchtime, for midday every day, and then they pause whatever they're doing and they say the Lord's Prayer. And there's a quote here from Rowan Williams, who's ex-Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said this: "If somebody said, 'Give me a summary of Christian faith on the back of an envelope,' the best thing to do would be to write out the Lord's Prayer."
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and glory,
forever and ever.
Such a powerful prayer, isn't it? That version is on the Church of England website. Something else that Rowan Williams said about the Lord's Prayer is this: the prayer as a whole tells us we stand in a very vulnerable place. We stand in the middle of a human world where God's will is not the most automatic thing that people do, where crisis faces us, where uncertainty is all around about tomorrow, and where evil is powerfully at work. To stand with dignity and freedom in a world like that, we need to know that God is our Father. We need to know that whatever happens to us, God is God. God's name and presence and power and word are holy and wonderful, and that glorious God has made us members of his family in a very intimate and direct way. With that confidence, that kind of unchildish dependence, we are actually free. We know that there is a relationship that nothing can break. There are so many things written about the Lord's Prayer, and there are so many different ways of breaking it down or summarising it. And it doesn't really matter how we categorise it, as long as we recognise and use it as the teaching tool that Jesus intended it to be. And you'll recall that last year when we looked at prayer, we used the prayer hand, didn't we? And we looked at our different fingers and different ways of praying. And I quite like this one about the Lord's Prayer, which covers really the same areas, but has five P's: praise, petition, provision, pardon, and power. So I thought I'd just run through these with us today. So starting with praise: our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's always good to start our prayer times by praising God, worshipping him, acknowledging who he is. Hallowed be your name means make your name special in my life. And we can praise him in word, or we can praise him in song. And I know that many of you enjoy listening to hymns and worship songs at home and maybe joining in or singing along with them. And that can be a great way to praise God. And then petition: your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray that prayer, we are asking for God's will in our lives as it is in heaven. And this is about consecrating or setting ourselves apart for God to use our bodies, minds, spirits, gifts, skills, finances, career. We're saying here that we want to align our will with God's will. And a lot of what we've been learning as we've studied the Sermon on the Mount has been right just about this, hasn't it? About putting ourselves in that right place with God. And then provision: give us today our daily bread. God makes provision for his people. Time and again in the Bible and in the lives of people through the centuries, we read of times when God has provided for people's everyday needs: food, clothing, shelter, etc. And sometimes we feel like we shouldn't bother God with our needs. But we know that God loves us as a father, and he wants to provide for us and care for us as a father would. And in the previous verse, we've said, your will be done. So we've acknowledged that our desire is for what God would want for us. Now, I'm not a fan of the prosperity gospel. I don't believe that Christians will be or should be showered with earthly riches. But I have seen God's blessing in tangible ways from time to time in my life, providing for us as a family, often through generous friends at times when we've needed it. Petition and provision are also things that we ask for others as we lift up to God the needs of our families and friends, our communities, our country, and our world. And right now, with our world in such a tough place, we know that in the battle against COVID, prayer is so vital. And uniting in prayer at this time is something that we can all be doing. And yesterday I emailed to you all a copy of the letter from the link for the letter from the archbishops that was sent out this week, calling us all to pray at 6 o'clock every evening, starting from tomorrow night, but you can start today if you want. And just that pause to pray. And I think as people across our country and do that, I'm sure that that will make a difference in this fight that we're facing right now. And then pardon. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We want to go before God with a pure heart. We know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for sin. And God is eager to forgive our sins so we can have a full relationship with him with nothing coming between us. And then God asks us to forgive others. As we've talked about in recent weeks, when we talked about loving our enemies, we know that when we get rid of our hate and our bitterness and forgive others, it brings freedom to us as well as to them. And lastly, power. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So power for what? Power to overcome temptation and to deliver us from the evil one. We know that the devil is real and he attacks us often in very subtle ways, seeking to destroy our joy, our peace, and our walk with God. But God gives us his power through the Holy Spirit to stand up against the devil, and that is what we're praying for here. We can pray in power for ourselves, our family, our friends, and indeed our community, our nation, and our world. This last part, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever, was added by the church. It's not there in the two places in the Bible when Jesus is teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Bishop Stephen, the Bishop of Oxford, did a series of talks on the Lord's Prayer, and he said this about this final part. It reminds us that in the end, God holds the end of the story. God will bring all things to completion. God will watch over us through this life and welcome us beyond death into life to come. That God is over all and in everything. So just a summary. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are covering praise, petition, provision, pardon, and power. And as a church, we pray the Lord's Prayer at every service that we have. And as you've heard, many people across the world choose to pray the Lord's Prayer daily at noon. I love the fact that this is across all Christian denominations and all styles of churchmanship. It's something that unites us, reminds us of what's central to our faith. And finally, the key thing about prayer is that it's individual to us. It's about our communication with God, and we each need to work out a way of praying that works for us. So I really love this quote by Dom John Chapman, who was abbot of Downside Abbey at the start of the last century, and he wrote this in his spiritual letters. Pray as you can, not as you can't. So don't compare yourself to others. Don't think I should be praying like X. Rather, be yourself. And pray as you can, not as you can't. Let's just pause and pray now. Father, thank you that you ask each one of us to pray as we can, not to compare ourselves to others, but to take delight in spending time with you, in communicating with you, whether it's out loud whether it's in the quiet of our own hearts. I ask, Father, that you would help us, particularly at this difficult time that our world's going through, to make regular times just to pause and pray. And we do thank you for the Lord's Prayer that you gave us, that structure that we can use to guide us in our prayer times. Amen.
Amen.